Revelation chapter 17. And we are going to talk about the number 13 tonight. We're going to talk about the number 13, Mystery, Babylon, and the Antichrist. I'm going to add this to that Antichrist series. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about that number 13, and started to look at this and think about that mystery Babylon, and a few things came up, and I started studying it out more, and just kept studying and looking and reading, and I was like, okay, I'm going to talk about this a little bit, because these numbers, the number 13 and the number 6, are connected with the Antichrist a lot. And if you're going to preach on the Antichrist, the beast system, mystery Babylon, and understand all that in end times prophecy, the numbers tell a story. Let me pray real quick, and I'll get into this. We got this all recorded, right? Everything's good? All right. Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace and your love. And, Lord, we just pray that you please would just bless us now and feed us from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, numbers, they tell a story. If you look in the Bible, the King James Bible, what you'll come to quickly is that you will see, if you do a study of numbers, that they do tell a story. That there's something about the numbers in the King James Bible and the way that they are. There's something about them that gives us clues and it helps us understand the rest of the Bible in a lot of ways. It adds to some things in our study and shows us, things that we wouldn't necessarily see or understand. For instance, Revelation chapter 17, verse number 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Anybody know how many words that is? 13, that's right. So 13. There's that number 13. And numbers, they do mean something. Okay, the Lord uses numbers in the Bible and how they consistently teach us something. We learn that about the number 6. We learn that the number 6 is, and that 666 is intricately detailed into the Antichrist, the beast system, the end times, and that man-beast, that merging of the man and beast, that we see that number in all the types of Antichrist. Well, guess what? In many of those same types of Antichrist, we see the number 13, and I'm going to show you that tonight. Which, is that an accident? Absolutely not. This book is perfect, and God shows us. And listen, we're not using this to try to tell the future. God's already told it. It's right here. We're just defining what God has already said in His Word, and what He's already done in His Word. We're not using it like, what's that called there in that, is it Gia, what is that? Where they try to take the numbers and use it to tell the future. Yeah, gematria. That's not what this is. Okay, exactly. That it is. That's witchcraft to try to tell the future with that. We're not doing that. We're just using what God has right here and illustrating what God has already written and proved in the Word of God and showed us. So that's amazing. And I want you to see how amazing this book is, that God defines His Word with His Word. You and I can get clues from other things. Oh man, I meant to bring a dollar bill up here. Anybody got a dollar? Offering's been low, man. I need a dollar. Who's got one? No, I'm just kidding. I just need a dollar. Anybody got a dollar? Mandy's got one in the back of her wallet back there. I already searched that. So I just saw a wallet here and I was like, whose wallet is this? It's just like sitting here. Hey, thanks. Man, you're never going to see that again. Good job. All right. Amen. Give to Jesus. Amen. That's wonderful. I'll give it back to you. I'm just kidding. There's too many witnesses for me to keep it, so. There's too many witnesses for me to keep it. I won't do that. No. I just want to illustrate something a little bit later to you with that dollar. So don't let me forget it, okay? You probably won't. I know your father is, and he doesn't forget about money. He knows how to count those pennies. He's an accountant. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to keep the numbers. So he's going to be interested in this message on numbers here. Amen? I want to show you how consistently that number 13 is in the Scriptures and how it is associated with rebellion. It is closely associated to rebellion. It illustrates the rebellion. Now, also, we see Hebrews 13. We see 1 Corinthians 13. We see some of those illustrate love for the Christian. Okay? So, for a Christian, that is love, but it has always been illustrated, that number 13 has been illustrated as rebellion to Satan in the lost and dying world. It illustrates their rebellion. Okay, it reveals the rebellion of Satan and his children. And rebellion is what? It's the opposite of love. Right? To obey the Lord your God is to love the Lord your God. Rebellion to God and rebellion to parents is not love, but it's hate. When we rebel against God, we are not loving God. We are not reverencing, but we are rebelling against Him. So we're going to look at that number 13. What's that? That's right. Practicing witchcraft, stubbornness, and iniquity, right? That's what the Bible says. So that number 13 is going to show us tonight a few things. So first off, the number 13 in rebellion to God, the word rebel, listen to this, the word rebel is mentioned 14 times in the Bible, but it's contained in 13 verses. See that? Rebellion and depravity is what this number illustrates mostly. Listen to this. Adam was the first human rebel ever. And we inherited that depravity from him, and we choose to rebel against God as well. The 13th time Adam is mentioned in the Bible, we see he has a son in his own image. What is his image? A fallen image. A rebellious and depraved image. Right? Genesis chapter 4, verse number 25. Look at there. You'll see that illustrated. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. But notice when, in Genesis chapter 5, notice the number. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. So who picks up on that number? What do we have there? 130 is what? 13 times 10. Rebellion, right? It was rebellion in the blood. We are passed on that rebellious, depraved spirit. All right? That depravity of man. We are passed on that depravity of man, right? Through the federal head, Adam, right? We also choose the sin. That's another story for another day, but we also choose the same rebellion as well. Genesis chapter 14. Actually, Genesis chapter 13. Turn there. This is going to be interesting. Genesis chapter 13. What's that? How did you know I was going to go to 13? Are you reading my mind? Okay, but what's important about verse number 13 also? That's right, 13 words. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. 13 words. What is Sodom? Rebellion. What is sodomy? Rebellion against what is God's order? God made them male and female. What is that? Rebellion. Rebellion. So Genesis 13, 13 with 13 words. See how that works? Is that an accident? No, you won't. Genesis chapter 14, verse number 4. We see that the number 13 illustrated again. This is all pointing to that end times rebellion, that final depravity of man, that final depravity, that merging of that beast, the Antichrist. Genesis 14, 4 says what? 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. Is that an accident? Tells a story. In the 13th year, they rebelled. Think about that. Genesis chapter 17, verse number 25. This is interesting, too. We'll see if you pick this one up. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. Now, the 8th day, right, is the day of what? What's that a picture of? What do we know about the number 8? Anybody remember the number 8? Regeneration, right? The new life, right? That's what that number 8 stands for. However, did you know that Ishmael, he was circumcised? Go to verse number 25. I think it's, let me see. Maybe a wrong verse here. Let me see. Is that the right one? Yep, look how old he was. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. How about that? So everyone was required in 8 days, right? And because this was a new covenant that he had made, Ishmael was circumcised what? At 13 years old. What is Ishmael? His hand would be against every man. He would be a rebel. Still is. Hasn't changed. Right? And he is the son of what? Rebellion. Because Sarah said to Abraham, no, go in unto my handmaid. They did not trust the Lord, but they rebelled against God and did that and did not have faith. See how that works? That's the bondwoman. That's right. Still in bondage today and still a grief to the people of the promise. The earthly promise, that is. In Ezra chapter 2, verse number 13, we see an interesting number here. It says, the children of Adonijah, 666. So we have the number 13 there, and we have the number 666, right? How about Nimrod? Nimrod was the 13th descendant from Ham, right? In the Ham line, he was the 13th descendant to come through. Number 13, some say from Adam and Adam's line comes down, but the number 13. We already know who Nimrod is, right? The picture of the Antichrist, right? The lineage, very clear. How about Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse number 13? Turn there. There couldn't be anything about that, could there be? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy 13. This verse is dealing with false prophets, right? Verse number 13 says, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known. So what happens? He said, if that happens, then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be the truth, and the thing be certain that such abominations are wrought among you. So they're trying to draw them away in rebellion. Trying to draw them away. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse number 13. False prophets are mentioned there. People that try to sway them away from the truth. How about 1 Kings chapter 13, verse number 26? 1 Kings chapter 13. There's that number 13. There's that number 26, which is interesting. But listen, look at what it says. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse number 26. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who is disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. What happened? That was the rebellious prophet, right? The rebellious. Are you starting to see a pattern here? The rebellious prophet. In 1 Kings chapter 13, he was a rebellious prophet. God told him, you go in there, you give the message, and you leave. Don't eat, don't drink, don't do anything, just go. Don't come back the same way you came, get out. Leave. What happened? He disobeyed. He rebelled. And he believed a lying prophet. Right? And what happened to him? He died. What tore him? That's right, he got killed. Man, I'm telling you, might be the anointing. This might be, right? You just never know. Huh? It should scare you. That would be so funny. Oh, my goodness, I would laugh so hard. Being an old man and seeing that would just crack me up. Just to remember all these young boys at this age and then to see the Lord raise some of them up to preach when I'm an old man and just remembering them at this age. Wow, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Yeah, it will be, amen, by the grace of God. All right, turn to Esther chapter 3. Yep. These boys sure are talkative, aren't they? We know it's not his mother. Esther chapter 3, verse number 8 through 13. Now check this out. This We know who Haman is, right? He's a type of the Antichrist. He goes after the Jewish remnant that is there, and he wants to destroy them. Well, look what he does here. And Haman said unto Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also to thee with them, as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month. And there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof and to every people after their language in the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. Look at this, verse 13. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even under the even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. You see that? 13 again, that number 13. On the 13th day, that's when he wanted it to be done. Right? And we also, so we see a pattern there, don't we? Right? Now how about in Revelation chapter 13, we see the entire pattern there. Revelation chapter 13 explains, you know, the beast, the false prophet, the Antichrist. Then we see that number 13. Isn't that funny? That's Revelation 13. And then what do we see connected there? 13 and 666, the number of his name, is right there in that 13th chapter. That is the ultimate and highest rebellion against God will be that a man-God. Notice I said it that way, right? Because there's only one God-man. He will be a man-God. Right? Don't confuse the two. They're not the same. But he'll say he is God. He'll exalt himself above all that is called God. Yeah. Right. Right. So there, it's a mockery of who God is. And that's what Satan's all about. That's why it's 13. That's why the 666 is there. That's why it's all connected. The numbers show the connection very clearly. Now turn to 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. Yes. Yeah, we'll get to that too. Yep. 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 1 Kings 10:10. We see here, and she gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices, very great store and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to the king of Solomon. Oops, I think that's the wrong one I wanted. Oh, verse number 14, sorry. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in one year was 666 talents of gold. Now, anybody remember what God commanded the kings that they weren't supposed to do? Multiply gold, multiply wives, and multiply horses. Right? They weren't supposed to do that. God told them not to. What'd they do? What'd he do? Anyway, and what was his number? 666. Right? And he was rebellious against God. I believe later we see Solomon's repentance in Ecclesiastes and in those other chapters. I believe we see them at the end of his life. He understands what he had done. It's too late to change it, but I believe that's his repentance. I really honestly do. Because God said he would not remove his grace from him. He said that. He goes, I will not remove my, like I did Saul. Did you catch that? He said, like I did Saul. Right? There's a difference there. Major difference. Saul versus Solomon. Big difference. Grace is the difference. Amen? It's not one man wasn't better than the other. Yeah, grace is the difference. Amen. All right, so we have that verse there, and we see what happened there, but there's no direct connection there to the number 13. However, if you go to the parallel verse, go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse number 13. Then we see it. Now, the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 score and 6 talents of gold. So you see that we have that 666 and that number 13 still connected right there in that verse. All right, just a different reference to the same thing that happened. Now, we'll go to Saul. We looked at Samuel. Let's go, or look, we looked at Solomon. Let's go to Saul. Turn to 1 Samuel. Guess where we're going to turn here? Chapter 13. Guess what verse? Huh? 13. Some of you are starting to figure this out. It's taking you about 20 minutes, but I think you're getting it. I decided to do a light little Bible study with you tonight on this, just to teach you some things, because I'm going to hammer you on Sunday, so I figured I'd better get... Brother Ryan's like, oh, no. I think my wife might have a baby on Sunday. He looks over. Come on, you got to figure this out. Let's go. No. I'm going to teach you something on Sunday, I should say, but it is kind of deep, so it'll be good for us. Amen. What's that? Going to learn you something. That's right. It'll be good, though. I think it'll be very helpful to all of us. And just good. Yeah, it'll be good. I think it will. But anyway, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse number 13. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And what did he say? I mean, he said, hey, I did the will of the Lord. I did. I obeyed the Lord. He said, no, what do you mean the bleating of these sheep in mine ears? Right? How come I hear the bleating of the sheep if you did what I commanded, what God commands you to do? He didn't, right? So here's that number 13, though, and here's the rebellion of Saul. We're seeing it very clearly. This is his rebellion against God. And we see the punishment that God gave him for his rebellion. So very, very clear connection there. The dragon gives the beast its power in Revelation chapter 13, verse number 2. Turn there. Revelation 13, 2 is full of references of that number 13, or of importance in that chapter 13 because of everything that is transpiring here in this chapter. Revelation chapter 13, and then we see verse number 2. I'll show you why this is. Whoop, thought it went out for a minute. Guess not. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, you want to see a connection between the number 13 and 6? Here it is. Ready? How many times do you think dragon is mentioned in the New Testament? No. Dave gets no candy. 13. How many times do you think it's mentioned in the Old Testament? 6. That's right. 6 times. 6 times in the Old Testament, 13 times in the New Testament. See that? See the connection? 6 and 13. Right there. Okay? Amen. Pretty interesting, isn't it? But 13 times in the New Testament because of Satan's rebellion and shows and illustrates his rebellion all the way through. So, and then 6 times in the Old Testament, obviously, because he's the beast, right? He's the beast. So, okay, let's see. Hosea, turn to Hosea chapter 13. How about that? Dave's afraid to look for it because he can't find Hosea chapter 13. He's going through that Genesis, Exodus. You're going through the books of Moses. Let us sing the books of Moses. So, you know that song? Do you know that song, Andrew? It's about singing the books of Moses? Or singing the Old Testament. You don't know that? How do you sing that song? Yeah, how do you sing it? Look, you're done. All right. How do you say Jim Lee? Do you know that song, Brother Finney? And I know you don't know it. Do you know the Look, don't get smart with me. You didn't need a song. You hear? I just learned them. I didn't need a song. You know, that gives me flashbacks to something you said to me long ago when I first met you. That's what that does. No, don't try to back off. No. You already made fun of everybody. Yeah. Maybe we'll sing that song on Sunday to teach all the big boys and girls. Right? Yeah. All right, Hosea chapter 13, verse number 1. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. I want you to notice something here, because you're going to see some rebellion, you're going to see a picture of the Antichrist right here. So I want you to pay attention closely here. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel, but when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. All of it the work of the craftsmen. What does this sound like? Something's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Right? Israel did that already, right? Who else? Manasseh, he made the calves, didn't he? He put the calves. Or Jeroboam. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he made the calves and put them out there, didn't he? And then people bowed down to them. We know that Aaron said that he threw gold in the fire and it came out a calf. Just, there it goes. Whoa. That's how that happened, right there. Even though the Bible says he fashioned it, right? But anyway, he threw it in, and out came a calf. But incidentally, that was the same Apis bull that was worshipped in Egypt. But anyway, never mind that. Therefore, they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, and as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me. For there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion. Who is as a roaring lion? Right? As a leopard by the way will I observe them. Isn't that what he does? Yeah, listen, it gets even crazier here. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps. See the description? And will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. That end times beast, remember what it looks like? Mm-hmm. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? And thy judges of whom thou saidest, give me a king and princes. Give thee a king in mine I gave thee a king in mine anger and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. Verse number 13, the sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Where have we heard that before? 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Paul explained it. You see that? Paul explained that passage in Hosea chapter 13. He explained it. Right? Amen. That's good. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come. The wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. God gives them the Antichrist. That's what that is saying. He said, I'm going to give you a king, and then I'm going to take him away. Right? God, they're going to think that they are worshiping God. Right? Until he reveals himself for who he is. And then they're going to see it. Right? In his wrath, he'll take him away. God gives them the Antichrist. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. By the way, next, Nebuchadnezzar. How about him? He is mentioned 91 times. How does that relate to 13? What's 13 times 7? See that? Josh, would you figure that out yet? You already know that, don't you? You don't know that? What do? Everything with a calculator? No? No, I'm just kidding. 13 times 7, it's 91, right? 91 times, 13 times 7, he's described as a beast in Daniel. And he's described as a beast in Daniel chapter 2. So Nebuchadnezzar is one of those perfect types of Antichrist in that sense. Again, there's that Babylonian connection. What do we have at the end? We have the 13 words that is said about Mystery Babylon the Great, right? We have those 13 words, and then we have Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And what do we have? We have him mentioned 13 times, 7 times. He's described as a beast in Daniel. Daniel is described as a beast, and he's also described as a king of kings. But notice what it doesn't say. It says a king of kings, not the king of kings. Right. Yep. Yeah, exactly. The gospel of the... Right. Exactly. To live forever. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Or God save the queen. That was for Harry. If he ever listens, that was for you, Harry. Message me back, Harry, and we'll send you a free CD. They're always free, but anyway. How about this? Mark chapter 7, turn there, please. Mark chapter 7, verse number 21. We're going to find something interesting here. For from what Christ is talking about, a depraved man. What does he say? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. How many are there? 13. There's 13 of those things that are described there. What is that? That's perfectly describes a depraved man. Right. In that chapter 7, that's right. Hey, I didn't catch that one, Lee. You caught me on that one. That's good. So that's the only one you're going to get, Joshua. Quit pinching that baby. All right. Here we go. Are you ready? Okay, now, what's interesting about this is what it says here. Notice what it says in that verse. It says an evil eye. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Guess what's on your dollar bill? That's right. That's an evil eye. Hey, take a guess at how many rows are underneath that evil eye. 13. I know, isn't that crazy? Here's another one. Guess how many letters are in this word right here? These two words. 13. How many original colonies? 13. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it? That's right. And then how many stars are in there? 13. Ryan, if you don't believe me, you can count them. Can you count them from here? You should have said, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Here, you can have a dollar back. Hey, whoa, man, it's his. Man, I told him I'd give it back to him. Man, I'm telling you. Your dad almost got that dollar from you, man. Anyway, those 13 stars above the phoenix, right? 13 letters are written in the words. I don't even know how to say those words. Anuit, coeptus. Connected also underneath, what does it say? Novus Ordis Seclorum. What is that? New World Order. Yeah, Order of the Ages. Yeah, New World Order, whatever. Yep. Well, that's not an accident, is it? No, that's done on purpose. By the way, that great seal wasn't designed by, like, George Washington or anybody like that, the founder of this country. I hope you understand that. That was Roosevelt and his Rosicrucian, crazy, psychotic, Knight of Malta, who else? Masons, Wasn't Manly P. Hall involved with that too, I think, maybe even? All those guys, a bunch of them anyway, they're a bunch of those devils were all involved with the Great Seal. Mike Hoggard has a good teaching on the Great Seal. I mean, it's like a lot of teachings on it. It's really a good teaching on that. I don't agree with some of the other guys I've seen teach on that because I don't think they're as accurate as he is on it. I think he's very accurate on it. I've seen some of the other ones, and they miss the connection that is there. But, you know, there's another guy that Vatican Assassins, again, I don't agree with everything he says, but he talks about the Jesuit connection with all those Knights of Malta, Masonic Order, and all those connections that are there with that. And, you know, they're connected in a lot of those things too as well. Okay, turn to Romans chapter 1. I want to further illustrate that this depravity and rebellion is ever present. Romans chapter 1. You know, I've heard people make fun of this, and, well, that's true. I'm going to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Is there really? Did you count them? Okay. Somebody sent me this. Jessica sent me this, said that there's 13 letters in New World Order. That's kind of interesting. How about that? Hey. That wasn't supposed to go off. There. It's rebellion. That's right. Stop that, Siri. Anyway, where are we at here? Romans chapter 1, verse number 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. Guess what number 13 is? Haters of God. Make sense? Do you think all this is an accident or? No, I don't think so. There's some people that don't believe that the King James Bible and the way the numbers are and the way things are that they matter. Oh, those things weren't there before. So I know, and God certainly couldn't do anything with English, could he? Why would we ever believe that? It's almost like you would believe what Revelation says, that in the end times, the knowledge would increase and run to and fro, and the people would learn more as time goes on. They would understand more. It's almost like you would actually believe that. Wouldn't that be crazy if you actually believed what God said? Wow, that'd be something. Wow. Think of what could happen if churches actually believed God's word. Wouldn't that be something? Yeah. Man, it'd be amazing if pastors actually believed they had the Bible in their hand. Yeah. Yeah, I've talked to many of them that they don't believe they even have the Bible. They're still looking for it in some original language. That's where it was perfect. Yeah, they are. How about Acts chapter 13? What do we see there? Acts chapter 13, verse number 6. Yeah, isn't that neat? Acts chapter 13 and verse number 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Wait a minute. An Antichrist? In Acts chapter 13 and verse number 6? Yep. Yes. A certain sorcerer, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of the Lord, with the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, or so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. What happened there? There was an antichrist there, a sorcerer. That's kind of interesting. I think I've met a few of those in my life. That's actually. But then you see in Revelation chapter 13. Right? You see the same, talked about the false prophet, right? Now go to Deuteronomy 13. Because the interesting thing about Deuteronomy 13, Deuteronomy 13 actually explains Revelation 13. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse number 1 through 5. By the way, both chapters have 18 verses. I know. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Amen. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Now that's a command that he gave Israel. He gave. Now the principles apply to us. Obviously we can't kill anybody for being a false prophet. Thank God. But you know what? What you can do is apply the teaching that is in here, the principles that are here. But for Israel as a nation, the remnant that will remain at the end, this is a direct command to them of what they were to do and what they were to obey. It was an end times warning of them how to deal with Revelation 13. Do you see that? Deuteronomy 13 tells them how to deal with Revelation 13 when it happens. They know they're not supposed to bow down to any prophet, any false prophet. They're not to bow down to an image, right? They're not to make a graven image, but it says they make the image, right? So, all right. How about John chapter 13? Let's go there. What could be there? John chapter 13. I think we're getting close to being done here. Maybe. John chapter 13. Verse number 21. Here's where it gets interesting. Verse number 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in the spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. How many words is that? 13 words. That's right. It is. He said 13 words, didn't he there? Okay. Now, how many letters are in Judas Iscariot's name? 13. Yeah? That's interesting, isn't it? And no, I'm not making it up. You can actually read it. It's right there. Right? Pretty amazing, isn't it? How about John chapter 17, verse number 12? John chapter 17, verse number 12, Jesus said this, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. What scripture? You ready for it? Turn to Psalm chapter 55. See, I got you now. 55, that doesn't stand for anything. Well, actually it does, but we're going to verse number 13. You caught it, didn't you? Already, Joshua can count. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. How many words is that? 13. 13 words. How about that? So he's describing who? Judas Iscariot. How many letters are in his name? 13. How many words in John chapter 13, verse number 21 describe him? 13. A lot of 13s there. This is a coincidence. It's a mere coincidence. Again, Deuteronomy 13 and Revelation 13 both have 18 verses, and we see that those answers are explained. How about this? This is an interesting one. The word palsy is found 13 times in the Bible. Okay, palsy, that picture of depravity or disease, right? In Matthew chapter 9, verse 2 and 6, Jesus deals with this disease as a picture of man's depravity and their need for a Savior. Jesus actually heals his sin as well as his body. He says, thy sins be forgiven thee. Right? So isn't it interesting that he heals him and he says he likens that to sin, and that's 13 times. We're going to give you a list of words that are listed 13 times and see if there's a pattern here pretty soon, okay? But we'll wait. How about the phrase dead body? It's mentioned 13 times in the Bible. Death, depravity, right? But did you know that all 13 times is in the Old Testament? You know why? Because you can't get life in the Old Testament, right? Right? Right. What does Ephesians chapter 2 say? Shows the new life in Christ, right? Ephesians chapter 2 says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Right? But now are we quickened. And you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So in the New Testament, we have life. Right? In the New Covenant, there's life. Christ had to come. For those, they were safe, right, in the Old Testament, but they still waited for Christ. If Christ never was born of a virgin, lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead, they would not be justified either. They were waiting for that justification, right? They were waiting for that. They were waiting for Christ. All are saved through Christ. All. Right? Oh, there's no other way to get saved besides Jesus, right? He had to finish. Now, of course, he gave them certain instructions in the Old Testament they had to follow, right? Noah, you know, and others that he gave different instructions to in those things and those covenants that were made there, right? But the path was still the same, the blood. It was always a picture of what? The blood of Christ. Waiting, right? What did Job say? I know my Redeemer liveth. And he shall stand on the earth in the latter days. Right? Why did he say that? Because he knew. Job also said there is hope in a tree. Now, I don't think he understood what he was saying, probably, but he did say that. And where was and who hung on the tree? Christ. Right? So, a lot of stuff there. How about Haggai chapter, let's see. Yeah, Haggai chapter 2, verse number 13. By the way, this is the 13th time, I believe, that dead body is used. Yep. Haggai chapter 2, verse number 13 says, Then said Haggai, If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, It shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer, there is unclean. See, they're unclean until Christ, till the blood of Christ covers. Sinners. We're all unclean until Christ covers, right? But the nation was defiled. Did you know that they could not go, if they were apart, they killed a body. The Lord Jesus, right? They killed a body. They killed the Lord Jesus. And they were defiled and could not partake of the Passover. Our Passover. Right? Which is Christ. Why? Because they were defiled. That's the 13th time that dead body is used. What did they say in Matthew chapter 27? Mm-hmm. 27, verse number 25. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. The whole nation was defiled at that point. Right? Defiled. So, something to think about. But there's a second Passover. Did you know that? If you go back into the, and we're not going to get into that, but if you go back into the Old Testament, I was just reading that today, in fact, Numbers. In Numbers, they talked about the first month, on the second day, I believe it was, or was it the 14th day? I'm sorry, I could have my days wrong. All these numbers are running together now after all these numbers we're doing. But he said that they could partake of the Passover, but if they were defiled by a dead body, they had to wait till the second month and the 14th day or whatever day it was to partake of the Passover. They had a second when Christ comes again, right? The remnant that believes according to grace, right? The remnant that believes according to the blood of Christ. No other second salvation. They have to believe the same Jesus you believe in. There's no other way for them to be saved but Jesus Christ. But those, they will believe. And they will partake of it. They will be a part of that. And the blood will be upon them. and he shall pass over them. They said, his blood be upon us and our children. They meant it, we'll take the blame for it. You know? But also, Pilate was guilty, and the Romans were guilty for crucifying an innocent man, which is a picture of us. They were Gentiles, right? And we're all guilty, right? All are guilty of Christ's death, not just the Jews, right? All, because Christ came that you might have life. He came because we needed him to come, right? Without him, we could not be saved, right? So, anyway, it's interesting, just some of those things. Now, let's look at some words that are used 13 times in the Bible. How about afflictions? 13 times. How about chain? The word chain. Did you know Satan is bound, and that's the 13th time that word chain is used? Controversy, 13 times. Disobedient, 13 times. Dragon, 13 times, like we talked about. Error, 13 times. Giants, 13 times. Guilty, 13 times two, it's 26 times. Liar, 13 times. Lightning, 13 times. How Jesus saw Satan fall from heaven, right? 13 times. Palsy, 13 times. How about prisoner, 13 times. Robbed, 13 times. Think about that. All illustrates the depravity of man, the Antichrist, right? Who will be the epitome of all these things put together. Serpents, 13 times. To tear, 13 times, tear. And the word vile, 8 times, and vials, 5 times, together makes 13. Think about that. Vinegar, 13 times, which is what Jesus was given at the cross, right? Job chapter 26, verse number 13, reveals that God is the creator of who? That crooked serpent that became Satan, right? He became the crooked serpent. It's a 13 times 2 right there. How about the kings of Judah? There were 7 good and 13 wicked. How about the destruction? We're going to finish with this. The destruction of Jericho is stamped with the number 13, for the city was marched around for 6 straight days, and on the 7th day it was marched 7 times, making 13 total. 13 total times. So you see, and then you end up with, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. This is that end times rebellion. Yeah, that's all part of it. See, all I did was deal with scriptural 13s, okay? But yeah, that number is used in occultic practices. Masons, Masonic order, all of them use those numbers. Yeah, they love that number. Why? Because they embrace the rebellion. They go back to their father Nimrod, okay, or Tubal-Cain, or whoever they want to talk about. But right, and that's, yeah, they learn about it from the Bible, and they use it for rebellion. Yep, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm 6. Yeah, if you're, yeah, he said if you're 555, I'm 666. Right. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's interesting because in Exodus chapter 32, that's where the rebellion happened, isn't it? With the, that's where they. Yep. Yeah, that's where they danced. They had their rock concert and their fornication party, I'll put it that way. It was pretty bad. But yeah, exactly. So you see, so yeah, that's why they use that number. They use it on purpose. It's for rebellion. And I mean, not every time you use a number, you use it. I'm just saying that's their purpose. They deal with numbers and figures and all that kind of stuff. But you get the truth of those things from the Bible and how they're illustrated and how they're used. 13. That's why a lot of people say they don't believe in teenagers. That's young adults. Right, he was 12, right? When he became, right, when he was on his road to manhood, he was 12. So where's that 13? Right, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? When you look at all those numbers and, you know, you compare them all, you can see that the King James Bible has that. And those numbers illustrate a story. They tell a story of some things. And you can further study this if you want to. A man named Ed Velo, I don't know if you ever heard of him. He wrote a book a long time ago about numbers in Scripture. Bullinger, who is more of a hyper-dispensationalist, he wrote a book on numbers in Scriptures. Pastor Mike Hoggard wrote a few books on it. I got a lot of information from those guys. David Cloud has some information on that. But there's other resources that you can use to study. I got a lot of that from those resources. And it's just kind of a neat little study just to do a comparison and see how those numbers are used. Yeah, he got that one. Yeah, you can get that book free from Pastor Hoggard. He'll send it to you. But, they're very profitable. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Yep. Oh, by the way, yeah, the pure, what is it? I use it all the time, and I can't think of the name of it. Yeah, the King James Pure Bible Search. It's free, and that's how you can do this. You can type in anything. It'll tell you how many times it occurs in the Bible, how many references to it, how many everything, all listed right there. It's a great study. What's that? Yeah, that's what I have it on mine, so you don't have to be online. Yep, and it also has Webster's 1828 dictionary connected to it. So, like, if you click on a word and you want the definition of the word, you just click on the word, and down below a box drops, and it gives you the definition of Webster's 1828 dictionary. Pure Word Bible software, yeah. Pure Bible Search software. Oh, it's way better. Yeah, it's good. Also, it has an audio Bible on it in six different languages, or something, or seven. I don't know how many it is. It's a bunch of them. You just download the link, yeah, the PDF file. It just downloads into your. Otherwise, you can access it online at Pure Bible Word Search. Either one. Yeah, but it is a good resource to use for that, and a lot of things. It has a lot of good advantages to it. So anyway, so that's number 13. How it deals with mystery, Babylon, the Antichrist, the end times, and how it illustrates rebellion all through the Scriptures. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we pray you bless us now. And thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Help us to follow it every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.